going to read some verses from Romans 15. So I will move myself over a bit, but you can all see the screen. So Romans 15, and reading verses 8 to 13. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. We've had an election recently, and I'm sure you're all aware of, and in November there's going to be an election in America, and all of these recent ones, there's all sorts of contention around it all at the moment, and very much divided opinions about all sorts of different things. And during election campaigns, politicians have a reputation, not entirely deserved, maybe some of them are not like this, but they have a reputation for making promises to get elected and then conveniently forgetting about them after the election's over. Those promises very often don't survive past the date of the election. And, those kind of things, those broken promises can just really affect people, don't they? I wanted change. I wanted you to make a difference. I wanted you to do something that would make things better. And people will vote for change because they want to believe the promises that have been made. And when they're not kept, that leads to disillusionment, cynicism, and the kind of statements that we often hear that there's no point in voting because they're all the same. And it very often seems like that. And the world's definition of hope, it goes something along the lines of an optimistic attitude of mind based on an expectation of positive outcomes. So we hope it's going to get better. We hope it's not going to rain tomorrow. I hope that there is something to eat when I get home afterwards. Those kind of things, but it's all it's a bit wishy-washy, isn't it? It's a bit vague. It's maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. And when people lose hope, that causes all sorts of problems. It can cause depression. It can cause a sort of a withdrawal from society, from engaging with other people. And the book of Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that's true. It really happens, doesn't it? But hope in the Bible. Sorry, people, you're all depressed now, so we're going to get encouraged. Hope in the Bible is not an optimistic attitude of mind. It is something much more substantial than that. Hebrews chapter 6, it speaks there about the full assurance of hope. Full assurance of hope. And further on in the chapter, there's more. I'm going to read this. This is Hebrews 6. And verses 17 to 20. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragements to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. A hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So, biblical hope, it's not hope it's going to be all right. It is a sure and steadfast anchor. It's something that we can hold on to. It's something that we can back up. It's something that we can be sure of. So if we just you put the next slide up there. So on the dictionary side, you've got an optimistic attitude of mind based on an expectation of positive outcomes. And on the biblical side, we've got full assurance. We've got strong encouragement. We've got a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. That's what biblical hope is about. And that's what this passage in Romans is about there, that we've been reading this morning. So how do we get to have that kind of hope? Well, my background of most of my working life has been in accounting, so I do lots of sums. So we've got a little formula here, a little sum. So this is contained in these verses in Romans that we've just read here. So this is the formula for founding in hope. So it's the promise of God plus faith multiplied by the power of the Holy Spirit equals founding hope.
That's good.
Yeah. You got that? Promises of God plus faith multiplied by the power of the Holy Spirit equals abounding hope. And, you know, Jesus, who came to be our servant king, he is the one who is at the center of all of this. He is the one who confirms the promises of God. That's what Paul says at the beginning of the passage that we just read there. Christ became a servant to show God's truthfulness, confirm his promises. And then Paul uses a number of different scriptures to highlight what those promises are and the things that God has said he was going to do, and to point out that it was always God's intention to include the Gentiles in his family, to bring everyone in to the family of God. It wasn't just for the Jewish people. That was where he started, so to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. So he wanted to show that it was always God's purpose to do that, and that his promises are sure, and his promises are steadfast. Back in verse 4, in the passage that we read last time, it says that whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. So that's, he's talking about the scripture, the old, what we call the Old Testament. And it was written for our instruction that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And so what do those scriptures say? Well, in that passage that we read this morning, there are four quotations from the Old Testament in there. So the first one was from Psalm 18, verse 49. So it says, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And then Deuteronomy 32, 43, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Psalm 117, verse 1, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And then finally, he goes to Isaiah. And Isaiah 11, verse 1, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. That's a messianic prophecy. That he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the one who was to come, the one who was going to rule and reign. And you know, the promise of God is that he will establish his rule and reign over the whole earth, over all of creation, and that he is going to restore all things. He is going to renew all things. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and there won't be any division between the two anymore. They'll just blend into one another. So right now, we get little glimpses of heaven, don't we? Sometimes we get heaven coming to earth and we see the glory of God. But in the new creation, they'll be come together, they'll be one, we'll be in the presence of God eternally and permanently. And the creation is going to be set free and brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. There'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more dying, there'll be no more mourning, no more sorrow.
Praise God.
Wow.
Praise God.
That's the promise of God. These are the promises of God.
That's right.
And further on in chapter 11 of Isaiah, the prophet there gives a prophetic picture of what this is going to look like. So this is Isaiah 11, verses 6 to 9. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. King Jesus, the Messiah, is going to reign over all the creation. He is the root of Jesse. He is the hope of the nations. In Paul's quotation of Isaiah in Romans, he speaks there about the one who arises to rule the Gentiles. And in the original New Testament text, if you read it in Isaiah, and we look at the Hebrew words that he used there, it means, you know, that word rise, it means somebody who comes to the fore, or somebody who emerges from among the people. But when Paul quotes it, obviously it's the New Testament written in Greek, so it's a different language, but he uses a completely different word there. And the word that he uses is the New Testament word for resurrection. So he's talking about the one who arises to rule the Gentiles. So Jesus, the King, is the one who arose. He's the one who rose from the dead to prove that he was the Son of God, to prove that God's promises are true, to prove that God keeps his promises. So he arises to rule over the Gentiles. The last verse of the passage, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. That's where I got that little equation from. So we've got the God of hope who starts it all off. And he's going to fill you with joy and peace in believing, that's the faith bit, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And so, we've got it up there. So Paul describes God as being the God of hope. He's the God of hope. So he's the source of all of this. He's the foundation. Everything comes from him. So he's the one who started this whole process of the God of hope. And then that God of hope, he makes promises. He makes promises. He promised that the Messiah would come and that he would be for all nations. He promised that he's going to be for all nations. In him will the Gentiles, the nations, hope. And, you know, when we come into relationship with Jesus, we receive forgiveness of sins. We're given a new start. We receive other gifts as well. We can receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit from him by him to come and fill us and renew us and empower us. And one of the gifts that we receive from God is faith. That's what the scripture says, doesn't it? It's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So God gives us that gift of faith and enables us to believe the promises. So we're called to believe the promises of the God the Father. So the things that he said, and we can have that hope in him, that thing which is solid, that thing which is sure and steadfast, that thing which is certain, that thing that gives us full assurance that he's going to do what he said he would do. And when Jesus returned to the Father, he promised that we wouldn't just be left to get on with it on our own. But he said he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be with us and to be in us. To empower us, to change us, and to activate all of those gifts that we've been given. So he's come. He's here. He's here now. He's with us. He came in with us. He's here with us, and he'll leave with us as we all go our different ways afterwards. So he's there to provide all that we need. He is the Spirit of God. He is the seal of the promise that is to come. And the end result of all of this is so that we can abound in hope. Not just have that, oh, hope it's all going to work out, but that we can have that joy and peace, knowing that God is going to fulfill his promises, that he is going to do all of the things that he said he was going to do. And whatever is going on around us in the world, whether we like what's happening or not, whether we like results of elections or not, whether people have kept their promises to us or not, God always keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises. And the Holy Spirit resides in us and in our lives. He helps us to see and to understand the goodness of God. And he helps us to take hold of the promises. And as we do that, it produces more hope and more joy and more peace. And as long as we're in this life, hope can continue to grow. That's what he's talking there about, abounding in joy. So it's a growing thing. It's not just that we've got hope full stop and that's it, but we've got hope. And that hope produces joy and peace in our hearts. And that produces more hope. And it grows and it expands and it becomes greater and it becomes stronger. And it's similar to what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, where he talks about us being transformed. So we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. It's growing, it's building, it's building up to something amazing, something that is yet to come. And so we can experience hope in the promises of the God of hope, along with joy and peace. And it's all because of Jesus, who is the hope of the nations. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Jesus, we thank you that you came, that you arose, that you didn't just arise from among the people, but that you arose from the dead in power and glory. Thank you that you are the King of all kings. Thank you that you are the one who rules and reigns over all the nations, whether they recognize it or not. Thank you that you are going to restore all things, that you are going to renew all things. Thank you for all of your promises. Lord, we thank you for the different bits of scripture that we've read this morning, Lord, that speak about those promises that you've made, about all of the things that you are going to do, and that you've made us to be part of those things. Lord, we thank you that we are sharers in all that you're doing. Thank you that you made us to be partakers of the divine nature. Thank you that you made us to be your children. Thank you that you made us to be the heirs of all that you have and all that you are. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Jesus, you are incredible. You're amazing. We thank you for those promises. We thank you that we can have hope in them. Not the hope that the world talks about, but hope that is sure and steadfast. Hope that is solid. Hope that it gives us full assurance and hope that fills us with joy and peace in believing. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you've done.
Yes.
And we thank you for all that you are yet going to do.
Yes.
In the future. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name.